I can pretty much see everyone from here. Charlie's got so many cool toys over here. Well, today we're going to be in the book of Hosea. I'm going to give you a heads up so that you can start turning there, because sometimes it's a little bit hard to find. It's a very skinny book. It's before the New Testament, but it's after the big prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. And we're going to be in Hosea chapter 1 today, if you'd like to follow along. We've been talking about being called by God, and this is our last message before we jump into our Christmas series. And the idea of being called by God is that all throughout history, throughout the Bible, and happening today all the time, is God is calling people to do special jobs. And sometimes it's as small as just helping someone who's behind you in line at the store. Sometimes it's as big as maybe quitting your job and moving across the country to do something, or to another country to do something special that God has lined up for you. But all throughout our lives as Christians, God's going to use His Holy Spirit to call us and lead us in certain ways to accomplish the mission that He has. And when God does that, it's simply called just being called. So God's calling you to come and do something special. And so we've talked about some of the prophets, and today we're going to talk about Hosea, the prophet Hosea. If you have read the book before, you know God called him to do something kind of hard, to marry someone that wasn't going to be a good marriage from the beginning, but God wanted to use Hosea in an important way. And so we're going to start off, and we're going to talk about how God wanted Hosea to show his message. So a lot of times, a lot of people, they think about, oh, if I'm going to work for God, or if God's going to give me a job, I need to be a good speaker, or I need to be someone who can really present the gospel well, or maybe I need to be able to talk to strangers well. Sometimes that's not it at all. Sometimes God's just calling us to be what He's called us to be, and or do something that He's called us to do. And so even though Hosea was a prophet, by definition, he's supposed to bring a message to a people, God first called him to do something and show the message long before he was ever supposed to say any words. And so we're going to start off in Hosea chapter 1 today. Now, Hosea was probably not well known. He was just an ordinary guy. He probably got his name kind of like how we named, like I named my kid Judah. I just stole the name from the Bible. Hosea's from a family that's probably just named after some people that we found in Genesis. And so he comes from a family that probably reveres God, and God called him to marry someone in particular. And we're going to pick up in Hosea chapter 1. And I'm going to start in verse 2. Now, when the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go and take yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and they conceived, and she conceived and bore him a son. So right off the bat, the Lord says to Hosea, go and take yourself a certain kind of wife. And so, first of all, let's talk about words. So there's some rough words in there. And if you have different Bible versions, it might say it different ways. Okay, and so just let me say this. In church, we deal with real life. And especially if you're like a teenager, and we're going to use some adult words like whoredom. Sometimes God has to have some serious talks with his people. So things like whore or prostitute or someone who's promiscuous, those are different things your Bible might say. We don't use it lightly, like you might hear at school or you might hear at work. Just like we don't say, you can go to hell. We would never say that because we know what that's like. We wouldn't wish that on our worst enemies. And so God's using some adult language here. And depending on your translation, it might say a promiscuous person. Hosea, I want you to go and marry a prostitute. Or it might say, I want you to go and marry someone of whoredom. The difference would be this, and it's all about the translators trying to get the message across that's accurate, but be nice about it too. And so simply this, a promiscuous person, they really would just might sleep with someone last week and someone different next week. And it's not really that they have a husband or anything, they just sleep with different people. They're not committed. A prostitute, they would trade sex for money, okay? And if you have some of the more rigid Bible versions that this one I have quoted up here, it says whoredom, and that's because they use that word, and it's a hard word on purpose. Because whoredom has a little bit extra sense that you are giving up some sort of personal principle to get some sort of gain. In other words, you might be committed to a husband, and you're going to sacrifice your principles, you're going to sacrifice what's important to go and get something else. And so what God is calling Hosea to do here is, I want you to go, and I want you to marry the kind of person I tell you to marry, and I'm going to tell you about how to name the kids, I'm going to tell you some other things, I want you to go and do this thing for me. And so right off the bat, Hosea is being called to go and do. And a lot of times God calls us to do something rather than say something. And so Hosea's mission just happened to be with his marriage, with his family. And he was called to be an example. And God knew that the person that Hosea married wouldn't be faithful, but he said, Hosea, you're going to be an example of my love for people that are not faithful to me. And Matthew 10 says, man, even if you were to give a cup of cold water to someone who follows Jesus, man, you will have a reward in heaven. And just one example is yesterday we went out and did some servant evangelism, and all we did was it was a cold parade. It's kind of cold outside. We passed a hot chocolate. We passed out over 200 hot chocolates, and it's kind of our first time trying it. It went really well. It's actually, it was pretty fun to walk out there and say, hey, you want some hot chocolate? It's free. And we had like the good stuff, like not the cheap like microwave stuff, right? And so then I pass it out, and I like go back at some more, and I walk down the street and pass out some more. And then I'd pass the people that I had already handed some out to, and they're like, hey, man, this was a great idea. But they were just thrilled. But it was just something so simple. And just blessing others. Just, we feel like we are called to be a go-to-them church and not a come-to-us church, and to continually get out of our walls and get out of our houses and talk to people and meet people. And just even something that simple, you know, God can use that. God is so willing to use that. We have a local radio station over in Bell Fountain called Shine FM, and they were in the parade yesterday too. Anyway, the manager there, Mark, he sent out an update, and if you're one of their supporters, you probably got the update letter this week, but I just want to read a little excerpt from his update letter. And it's just because Mark, he's just, when he put together this radio station, and he got people, and he gathered support, and it was just like this idea, and he was just a doer. He was just willing to do what God called him to do. It's like, okay, I want you to go, like, start a new organization, get support, people are just going to send you donations, and somehow you're going to live your life off that and start this. And he disobeyed God. He wasn't, you know, you rarely hear Mark on the radio except when he has to do, like, a special message. He's always playing other people's music. He's playing other people's sermons. He's not really a talker. He just listens to God. God called him to do something. He just did it. And here's one example of what happened because they're doing that. This is a testimony from a lady named Hallie, Haley. She says, this radio station has been such a blessing to me and my family. When we adopted our teenage son, we found out he was an atheist. After several years, he finally accepted my challenge to listen to Christian music for 30 days. It was God and your radio station that made this possible. He then started reading about the artists from the station and their stories. He realized they made mistakes in life too. Then he decided to start going to church. And I'm here to tell you that my son has now been baptized, and he's a believer, and he lives for God. Praise be to God for your radio station. You guys had such a huge role in this. I praise God every day. Thank you for your ministry and all the listeners that you guys reach. And so, in a way, Mark and his friends and the team he got together, God called them to do something, and you know what? They may or may not be good talkers. They may or may not be good at lots of things. Maybe we talk about different gifts in the church. Maybe they can't be on the worship team, or maybe they can't, you know, do the books or something. But God called them to do a radio station. They did it, and now he has testimonies like this that he sends out every year just because people were willing to do. So God called him to do. God called Hosea to go and do something, and God might be calling you to do something. You know, a huge opportunity to be a doer for God is Christmas time, because it's like the perfect excuse in the world to say, hey, Merry Christmas. I want to go out on my way and do something nice for you. I want to show the love of Christ for you. And I love when we pass out the hot chocolates. Like, I really made a real point this time, because sometimes I get lazy with the cards, to pass out that card that says, hey, we're doing this because this is just an easy way to show, like, we love you and God loves you. And you can show God's love to others many different ways this Christmas season. So God called Hosea and he said, I want you to go and I want you to marry a wife of whoredom, someone who's not going to be faithful, someone who's going to sacrifice their principles. And this is what I want for you. And so going on, it says, Hosea went and he took a wife, Gomer, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, okay, now you have a son. I want you to call his name Jezreel, for in just a little while, I'm going to punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel. So basically, God's people did a bad thing, and they sinned against Jezreel. And so God says, I want you to name your kid after the people that they abused. It's going to be like a reminder of their guilt. So God's calling Hosea to do some pretty tough things right now. It'd be like if we invaded Mexico. Okay, I want you to name your kid Mexico. And for the rest of his life, he's going to be a reminder about what we did, right? It'd be rough. It'd be real rough. So the Lord said to him, I want you to name him something. And honestly, Hosea is now being an example to the people who have abandoned God. They're in a very messy culture. It's a very yucky culture, okay? They say they live for the Lord. They actually have these things called the Baals. They've made these statues to this god that they call Baal. And they would take prostitutes, and that was part of their worship to Baal, and that was part of their culture. And they're getting further and further away from God, and they're getting further and further into this mess of worshiping another god and into the prostitution stuff, and just all kinds of... And God has now called Hosea. Hosea, I want you to get out of wherever your nice house was, wherever you were, and I want you to go to this people who've gotten away from me, and it's going to be messy. And your family's going to have some messiness. Your kids are going to have some messiness. The people you talk to and you're going to be an example to, they're going to ask you what's going on and why are you doing this? And it's going to be messy. And sometimes God may call you to something messy because that's where the people are whom he loves. And I've just noticed that believers, almost always, God leaves someone in their family or a close friend. It's like they're part of your mission. They're not saved yet, you know, and you know how messy that can be sometimes. You know, holiday's a perfect season. I know I've got a couple relatives I'm going to see here at the holidays, and their life is messy. And I know I'm called to love them, to be a good example to them. I could play it safe and say nothing and do nothing, but really I'm supposed to get up out of my chair, make sure I go sit down beside them, spend some time with them, invest in them. I just thought a great example of, man, I thought, Lord, when have you called me into something messy, you know, in the past maybe year or so? And this, I instantly remember this time. It was almost a year ago. It was last Christmas, okay? So we had our nice little Christmas Eve service here with the candlelights and we had visitors, and it was just like the special night, and the kids were all excited. You know, they're dressed up a little bit, and we get home, we're tired, and we're starting to, like, you know, get the kids to bed, and okay, they're bed. Okay, get the, you know, Christmas morning stuff all ready, you know, while they're sleeping. And it's like, I'm so tired, I'm getting ready to go to bed. And my cell phone rings. No big deal. I look down, I see who's calling. I'm like, oh, I know what this call is going to be. And it's someone who we have, as a church, have chosen to minister to go out and be a witness to, and they're not part of the church. And, but they've interacted with us several times, and we're just a witness to them. And so they view us as help. They probably see you as help. They probably see you as a blessing. And so they're calling me. And granted, it's like, I don't know if it was like 12:30 at night, maybe. And my phone, and I know they're going to need something. And it's not going to be a small thing. I'm like, do I not answer? Do I pretend like I'm asleep? Like, well, no. I just had it. And there was that moment where you got to choose, right? Am I going to let God use me in a messy situation? So I pick up the phone, and they said, sorry if I woke you. Are you available? I need you now. And I'm thinking, does this person really need me? I said, well, what's going on? And they explained they're in the car with someone who is upset because their kids are taken away and they want to end their life. In fact, he had to stop the call a couple times because that person was trying to jump out of the car. It's just total messiness, right? Not the kind of stuff I deal with every day. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, do I want them to come here to my house? So I said, okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to get dressed. I'm going to come meet you. Meet me at the church. And now I'm thinking, right, young, new pastor, I'm trying to think like, oh my God, Lord, Lord, my God, Lord. I have no idea what to do or what to say. I'm not like really a counselor. And I'm just like praying the whole way. And so they got here before I did. And we open up the church. I turn on the lights. And they bring in their friend. And totally high on drugs. Totally messy. Upset. And just belligerent. And it was a total mess. And I'm like, how do you talk to someone like that? So we sit down and we start talking a little bit. And it's going nowhere. And I'm thinking, it's getting late and I got a big Christmas day tomorrow. I'm like, I want to be used by you, Lord. I don't know what I can do. So we just go through what's going on a couple times. Can I pray for you? And I'm telling you, no, none of my words got in. It was just that their friend was there encouraging them and I was there and we're just there like surrounding this person. We're just trying to help them. We're just there for them. And eventually that person just sort of gave up and said, okay, I'm fine. Just take me home. And it was like there were no words mattered at all. It was just that that person had two friends that showed up and helped in their messy life. And they were just tired and they were just done with life. But just someone was willing to insert themselves into that messiness. And you might have someone this week. You might get the call, or you might have the friend, or you might have the neighbor. And you know, part of us loving other people is being willing to be inserted into some messy lives. And we might not even have the words. It might not be words. It might just be in there. And God will so use that. You know, he might use a radio station to get someone saved. He might save someone's life for you to listen. It could be so many different things. God just calls us to little different things all the time. And often it's just, are you willing to do? Are you willing to get into this messiness with me? Because I love the person who's in the messy world. And I want you to join me in coming to minister to them. So God takes Hosea and he has the first kid, and we're pretty sure the first kid's his because it says pretty specifically that was born to him, but then they have these other kids that are born, and we think from the text, the text is kind of trying to tell us that those aren't Hosea's kids. And then his wife moves on and she leaves him. And now it's like back then in that culture, a broken marriage is like totally shameful. It's a big shame thing, right? And so his wife's off doing whatever with someone else. Hosea's got these kids. He's got this ministry now. He's supposed to be a prophet. It's rough. It's rough, but God continues to use Hosea. Excuse me. And I'm going to jump ahead to chapter 2 here a little bit. And it says, so Hosea is now separated. His wife is off living with another man. And then God speaks to Hosea a little bit. He talks about all the rough things that he's going to do to God's people, just like his wife has now left him, and she's going through a tough time right now. And God's saying, you know what? My people left me, and I'm just going to let them leave. They say they belong to me, but they're not worshiping me. They're doing this other stuff, and they don't care about me anymore. I'm just going to let them receive all the mess that comes along with that. And they're going to be thirsty, and they're going to be hungry, and they're going to lose their houses. And I'm just going to let it happen. And I love them, but because I love them, I got to let them go through the hard stuff a little bit. And Hosea, that's what I want you to do for a minute. I don't want you to go ride in and rescue her yet. Just let her get sunk down in that life a little bit. Keep an eye on her, right? Keep an eye on her. And then the time will come when this, the time will come when this. And in chapter 2, verse 14 says this. And then therefore I will finally, after all that, then I will allure her, talking about the people like a woman. I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. I'm going to wait until the right time. And then, because I love them, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to rescue my people. And I'm not going to guilt trip them. I'm not going to beat them up. I'm going to say, you know what? I love you. Look what's happened here. Come back to me. I'm going to take care of you. Would you do that? And skipping again to the beginning of verse 3:1, he says, okay, now Hosea, you're my example to the people. Now I want you to do the same thing. Your wife cheated on you. She left you. She's probably messed up your family. But you know what? I want you to be the example. And I want you to go. And I want you to take her back. And so chapter 3 talks about how Hosea then went. And he had to pay the price. He had to buy her back. And she's messing around with some other stuff, into some other junk. And he even had to pay for her. And it cost him. It cost him probably his pride, cost him some money. It cost him, again, getting all messy again. And he goes and he takes his wife back. And sometimes tough love has to come before grace. Sometimes God's going to allow that hard time to soften someone's heart. But you know what? He never forgets the love part. He's just letting them go through that mess a little bit to soften that heart until they're ready. Now, if you were with us at the beginning of the year, we passed out these cards here. It says my top five. And maybe some of you still have that crammed in your Bible. I still have mine in the front of my Bible right now. The challenge was basically this. Take the five people that you most like are hurting for them to come to the Lord. They're lost. Their life might be a little messy. Right? And just write their names down. And just every time you see their card, whether you stuck it in the side of your mirror, or maybe it's in your Bible or wherever you put it, every time you see this, just continually just pray for them. And just chase them with the Holy Spirit for the year, and let's just see what happens. So and if you have some stories, I'd love to hear them. So I just want to tell you one little story. So I had five. Mine just happened to be five guys. And I've been praying for them. And it was a few months ago, one of them said, I think I'm going to choose Jesus to be Savior of my life. I want Jesus to be my Lord. And then just recently, someone said, one of those guys are like, I'm choosing Jesus to be my son. I'm like, seriously, Lord? And you know the mess that they had to get through to get there. Like, how their hard hearts had to be softened first. And God just let it happen, you know? But the whole time he was chasing them, the whole time the Holy Spirit was working on him, but he had to allow that tough love first. And my friend who was here a couple weeks ago, Mike and Katie, they do the thing where they go to the other countries and they help build the houses and the church and stuff. They said, you know what really got us on track to do this stuff? He's like, we read this book about when helping hurts. When we continually go and rescue, we don't let the tough love take its toll. When we rescue our son or we rescue our friend over and over and over again, we never let anything bad happen to them. And they just, in all the comfort, go off into their sin and into their messy world. And they never have the chance for that tough love to soften their hearts again. And probably the hardest thing that we might be called to do sometime is for someone that we love and care about is to let them be off in their mess for a little while and let God deal with them and let the world wear them down a little bit. Soften the heart. We don't ever give up on them. We chase them with our prayers and the Holy Spirit. We got to make the phone call sometimes. We check in. We invite them. But we don't rescue them until it's time. And God will let you know, or the opportunity will arise and they'll be ready. And we have testimony after testimony of people that say, probably some testimonies right here in this room that say, man, I got off at some stupid junk and it was just, my life was a mess. But you know what? I wouldn't have been ready for the Lord before that. I needed to get here before I was ready to go back there. And God used that. And the hardest thing might be to let that person go through the tough part and just be ready. Because as soon as that opportunity arises, like Hosea, right? like God, you might be called to swoop in and say, I love you. I don't care about all this stuff. I'm not here to guilt trip you. Let me pray for you. Let me call you back. Let me bring you back into the fold. Hey, let's get you cleaned up. Hey, let's get you something to eat. Hey, let me help you find a job. Hey, let's get those grades back in order. You know, whatever it might be. And God will so use that. And then it would become the next testimony from a card or from a radio station, right? Someone in your family. And God will use you if you're willing to be a doer and to get messy and to let tough love have its effect for a moment so that we can be ready to go in there with grace and say, I love you. So God called Hosea to do some hard things. And he's now the prophet that we have in the God's Bible forever. Because Hosea was faithful to take his message to the people, but first he was the example. And so I just want to challenge you this week. You willing to do what the Lord calls you to do, even if it's messy? You know, he might not call you to speak. You might not have to say anything. But all of us can do whatever God calls us to do. All of us can be an example every day. And those opportunities will arise where we go and insert ourselves into the mess or when someone's ready to come out of the mess. And we can be ready. And we can be used by the Lord. And we can have some testimonies like these guys or Haley that wrote in or so many others. So would you stand with me while we pray? Father, thank you for your prophet Hosea. God, he was so willing to just do the hard thing. He was willing to do anything for you, Lord. Thank you for him. Now you used him, Lord. Oh God, I thank you for how you used a simple cup of hot chocolate yesterday. I thank you for how you've used the radio station and how you've answered prayers of the people who've been praying for their loved ones who are lost, Lord. Oh God, I ask now that you would come and just fill every person with your Holy Spirit for just a whole week full of hearing your calling. Pray you bless every single person here and give them the courage and the strength to be doers and be used by you. And Lord God, I just look forward to the testimonies and the stories that are going to come out of this Christmas season, Lord God, because of how you're going to use your people here. Thank you so much, Father. We pray all these things joyfully in Jesus' name.